Lord, I pray, God, that as we study this lesson today, Lord, that you'll open our hearts and minds and that we'll receive the Word of God. And Lord, he'll help us to do a better job at being a Christian. And Lord, I pray today for these requests, each one for the lady's got the house for sale. Lord, I know that you will provide in that way, Lord, according to your will and Lord, in your timing. And Lord, I pray that you would consider that today. And Lord, I do pray for this family of Miss Moody that has a death. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would bless that family and help them as they go through this hard time. Lord, I pray that somehow they'll look to you, Lord, and that'll be where their comfort and their peace comes from. Lord, I do pray for Faith Ball, Lord, as she's struggled for so long and with these different issues with her body. And Lord, I pray, God, that as they begin to make a decision here soon, Lord, that you'll give the family the wisdom to make the correct decision. Lord, that you will help them do what you want them to do. And God, I just pray that your presence will go with them. And also for Mr. Goshorn, Lord, I pray for his medical situation there, Lord, that this week, Heavenly Father, that you would be with him and comfort him, Lord. And Lord, I pray that your presence also would go with him. Lord, we can't go and we don't want to go without your presence and your help. And Lord, I pray for Holly today, Lord, that as she goes for this test this week, biopsy, Lord, that you would just guide the physician's hand. May they get good news if it be your will. But Lord, I pray, Father, that this has not taken you by surprise, nor any of these requests. You know what they need, and you know what we need. And Lord, I just ask you, because you are our Father, that Lord, we beg you to supply these needs and according to your will. And Lord, forgive me where I've sinned. Help me, I pray today, Lord. I can't do it without you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 13, please. Now, sometimes I talk really fast, so maybe 7 pages won't go so long. But anyway, the Lord spoke to me again last night about some things, but I'm not sure he did about this. But I want to share something with you that kind of introduces what we're going to be talking about today. And the lesson that is, I titled it, and I don't ever title a lesson, but it's A Life That God Is Pleased With. And I think all of us would want God to say, hey, man, I like what you're doing. I'm pleased with the way you're operating and handling your life. But that's not always the case, and I know certainly it's not with me many times. But as some of you know, some of you don't, Sandy and I, we've got school buses, and we haul kids to and from school. And so one of the things that we do is we try to teach our drivers to be consistent in the way they treat the kids. You can't treat the kids with money different from the kids that don't have money. It's the kids that make A's and the kids that make D's and F's. You can't treat them different. You got to treat them all the same. You got to be consistent as a human being. And as a Christian, we've got to be consistent. But we've got these buses, and I want to tell you what happened to us and illustrate what I'm talking about. Sandy, she, after we came back from Vanderbilt, where she had her cancer treatment, she was driving a bus. It was 9 or 10 months after that, they cleared her to drive the bus again. But she still wore her mask to protect herself from germs and things. So we're driving she's driving the bus. She picks up the elementary kids one afternoon, and they get about halfway toward our house, which is the way the route goes, and one of them got sick. And the kid got sick and threw up everywhere. I hope I don't bother anybody me talk about that. But anyway, we're kind of crude at our house, you know, stuff like that. But anyway, I can say regurgitate if it'd make you feel better. But anyway, she threw up, this kid did, and Sandy pulls the bus over, and she's cleaning all a little bit. She throws some paper towels on it, and she gets all the kids in the seat, and they get, you know, when they get see something like that happen, they get wired up, and they get tore up. And so she calms them down and a little bit, and then she calls me, and I said, well, since you're so close to the house, bring them by the house. I'll put them on another bus, and I'll take them home. And you won't have to be on there in case somebody has something that she might catch. So we do that. She brings the kids by, and we load them on the bus, and I start down the road with them. And so I've asked them nicely to, you know, not get too loud because I need to talk to you. I need to communicate. I need to see where you live, and I need to hear what you tell me. So they start out for about 2 minutes, and they're doing really well. And then they get louder and louder and louder, and I ask them 3 times over the intercom nicely to quieting down. And they did each time for shorter and shorter periods of time. Finally, it just got so loud, and I knew we had kids lived in this area, and I needed to be communicating with them, and I couldn't. So I told them. I stopped the bus, and I stood up, and I said, "Shut up and sit down. Don't open your mouth again unless I talk to you." And I was, by that time, I was a little bit aggravated, so as you might tell. But anyway, I was tired of fooling with them at that point, and I wanted to talk to them. Now, I love kids, don't get me wrong, but I was a little bit aggravated. But anyway, we got them, so they got really quiet, and I kind of scared them a little bit, I guess, because I got a little loud. And so we finished the route, and we got done, and no more issues. We got back to the parking place there at our home where we parked the bus, and some of the other drivers were hanging around talking and stuff, and Sandy comes down and said, "How'd it go?" And I said, "Fine, but, you know," and then I was told one of the other drivers how they acted, and I said, "I just told them to shut up." And so Sandy, she walks up to me, and she says, "We don't say shut up on that bus." I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, just write me up, you know." So, but anyway, that's what, I mean, and so here's what I saw in that. The kids, the reason, when I told them to shut up and sit down, they were getting an inconsistent message. And we see that a lot in a lot of families today when you see divorce and things, and kids, you know, go to spend time with mom, and they spend time with dad, and they sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes they get a different message. They have a different set of rules. And it creates confusion in their life, and things are not consistent, and it makes it tough on them. So anyway, that's what our lesson is going to be about today, is being consistent in your Christian life, in my Christian life. I need to have a consistent message in my attitude, and my actions and my attributes ought to back up what I'm saying this morning in Sunday school. It ought to back up what I live during the week. So people know that, hey, he claims to be a Christian, but he acts like one. He talks like one. And the way he conducts himself in public is correct, the way a Christian ought to act. And sometimes I know that life has a lot of pressures, and it can get easy to get inconsistent. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. As I want to say that our greatest example is never going to be your Sunday school teacher, whether it's me today or Brother Gary from now on. It's never going to be Pastor Lassie, who taught last Sunday, and I was really bothered that Gary asked me to teach after Pastor Lassie. I said, you know, they expect a lot. But anyway, we need to be consistent, and Christ is our perfect example. In everything that is good and righteous and right for a Christian, we can look to Jesus and get a perfect example. Verse 8, it says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." That tells me, one verse tells me that Jesus was consistent. He could be counted on. You know, somebody that's not consistent, and you can't count on them, it's hard to trust them, isn't it? If they work for you, or you work with them and things like that sometimes, and they don't show up, or they're always late, or this or that, they're inconsistent. That's something that bothers me, and it bothers a lot of people, and it affects the job that's done. It affects many, many things. You know, if in Sunday school here, if Brother Gary was late every Sunday, what would we think? Besides, you know, let's get plenty of coffee and enjoy it. But no, but you know what? We would really be missing out, because Brother Gary's a great Bible teacher. I mean, as good as I've ever heard. And I appreciate him so much. But, you know, if he's late and stuff, our confidence in him will kind of start to dwindle. But anyway, we want to be consistent. Now, the characteristics that I want to mention of someone who has consistency in their life. And I want to use Jesus as the pattern here. And the first thing, and there's several attributes, I won't have time to get through all this, but I want to mention some of these to make the point. But Jesus was humble. Wherever he went, in every circumstance, and I can say this about every one of these attributes I'm going to mention, Jesus was humble. John 6:38 says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Jesus didn't come to do what he wanted to do. He came to do his Father's will. And then we see in John 17:4, Jesus said, "I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." That's consistent. You don't get, God has a plan for every Christian. As we go through the life, our Christian life, and we stumble, we get out of the way, or we mess up, guess what? We kind of throw a curve or something into the plan that God has for us. We're missing out on something. It don't all get done. You know, I go to work. I also do a little construction work, and when I have something planned for a day and I go and I work all day long, if I don't get everything accomplished that I wanted to, it's because I messed something up and I have to go back and redo something, or I decided to do it a different way and it didn't work out, or something like that. It's always something went a little bit wrong, or maybe a lot wrong. But anyway, Jesus, he was humbled, and he was humbled in the way that he finished the work that God gave him to do. He did not put his needs many times before the will of his Father. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked the Lord, his Father, he said, "I don't want to do my will. I'm here to do yours." And he said, "That's what I'll do." He said, "If this cup can't pass from me, nevertheless, your will I do." So Jesus humbled himself to his Father. He humbled himself to his followers. Remember that, I think a while back, Gary taught about it, as he washed the disciples' feet to show us a pattern, to show us something. Jesus was humble, and that was one of his great attributes. Also, Jesus was compassionate. In Matthew 9:36, it says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as having," excuse me, "no sheep." They needed somebody to lead. They need somebody to lead, just like our church has a pastor. We need a leader for God to work through to give us a message so we can do what we're supposed to do. But Jesus, he had a compassionate heart. He looked around and he saw the needs, and it broke his heart because the people didn't have a shepherd, that they were going every direction. And we'll see as this chapter here in Hebrews, the Hebrew writer talks about how they followed after other doctrines, how the confusion was created. And Jesus, instead of getting angry and calling them stupid, he had compassion for these folks. It bothered him because they did not have a leader. Jesus was also a perfect servant. And Brother Daniel taught or preached on that Wednesday night, how Jesus was a great servant. But anyway, Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And I know Brother Gary also taught a while back about being a servant and things like that. You know, Jesus gives us a perfect pattern. He was compassionate to everyone. And sometimes I found myself in this lesson not being a compassionate person all the time, especially when I've got road rage. And you never think about that. Now, let me tell you something. It's hilarious what can happen in a car, especially if you're not in a car with the person that you're aggravated with, you see. But anyway, you know, one time it's probably been 20 years ago, but I was on my way to church, or from church. No, to church. And I got behind a car, and they were kind of, you know, just on the interstate, but they were just kind of poking along. And so... I get tired of it, and finally I get the opportunity to go around them, and when I do, you know, I just kind of like, you know, what's the deal? Well, guess who I had to shake hands with in church? Yeah. So, practice compassion. That's all I got to say about that. But anyway, Jesus also, he was a perfect servant. He ministered to other folks. He, through his compassion, he saw their needs and became the servant to do something about it. He is our servant. Guess what? There's nobody else could have served the purpose that he served on Calvary's cross for us other than him. He's the only one. And I, I've been saved 25 years, and I tell you what, I think it means more to me now than it did then. I didn't understand a lot about it. I don't understand much about it now. But I do know that because he's consistent, it tells us up here in the scripture before the one we read that, hey, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. And when Jesus is consistent in his all these areas and he's proved that to me, how can I doubt him? But I say, why do I doubt him then? Because sometimes I do. Or that's what my actions will reflect. But anyway, Jesus was also forgiving. And that is a great thing for all of us that are Christians today. Luke 23:34 says, "Then Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, and that's not a ticket or a free pass on ignorance. We live in what people call the Bible Belt. We have every opportunity to know the Lord, to know about him, to know his will for our life, and to do it. We have every opportunity. And you know, I have failed miserably so many times because I wanted to do the right thing, but you know what? I wasn't consistent. I left something out or something. You know what? When I was younger, you know what came up the opportunity came up many times? Something that made me feel like I would have more fun. I need to spend more time with my family. And God showed me that I need to spend more time with my family in his house. In his house. Not watching the TV or playing computer games or all these other things that people, that we, because we have our lives filled with that. So we should be careful to that. But Jesus was forgiving. And he didn't look at me for what I was. He saved me to be something more than I can be on my own. And I praise him for that today because I don't have much to brag about but except what God has done for me and how he's changed my life. You know, Jesus was loving as well. That was one of his attributes. And I didn't look up scripture on that, but I can tell you from my experience that when I was under conviction and I got saved, I had no love for anybody much, other than my wife. I'll admit that. But I didn't care about being around a lot of people, and I didn't care for them being around me. I mean, I made decent money, and I did what I wanted to do. I played a lot of softball and other things. I fished some, and I had plenty of recreation. I didn't need church. Didn't need church people, and I didn't need the other worldly friends either. I didn't want to be bothered. I just wanted to live my life and just have fun. But when Jesus saved me, he gave me the ability to love. When he put his spirit in my heart, he took out that old stony heart, put in that heart of flesh so I could love other people. And, you know, I thank him for that because I look back on my life and I just think about if I couldn't love other people, all that I would have missed out on. And I'm telling you, and that's something that I'm really thankful for, that opportunity and the ability that God's gave us to love each other and to love other people and become that servant, that compassionate servant, somebody that wants to help. But anyway, and Jesus, I could go on and on with his positive attributes, but I won't. But he was loving, he was committed, he was gentle, he was kind, he's patient. And not to be forgotten, but he is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. He's all these things. Why would we not want to please him with our life so that he could pour his blessing, his best, the best, out upon us? So we're not looking for something better in our own strength, in our own power, but using what God wants for. And this is how I think the pattern is so important to us, because God himself put his stamp of approval, his voice of approval upon his son. And as we study through the gospel on two occasions that I read in Matthew 3:17 and Matthew 17:5, the Bible says, "Lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Now we are children of God. Would we not like to hear him say that to us? I'd like to know that today. But I bet he might have a hard time getting that out with me. Now, I don't know about you, but we all can improve. Everybody can improve. And we need Jesus as our pattern of consistency. I talked about I want to talk about the attitudes of Jesus, the things that, and this is going to be shorter because I'm going to run out of time, I'm sure, but I want to share with you some things. Well, first, I want to share a story with you about the attributes of Jesus and what it means. No, I'm going to save that. Never mind. Sorry. Anyway, I hope I don't mess up the video. Anyway, attitudes of Jesus. One commentary writer made the statement that Jesus always maintained a perfect attitude in every situation because he prayed about everything and worried about nothing. Now, again, this is because of his consistency of his attitude. We have that same opportunity to pray about every situation that comes in our life. And today, you know, you can look at the prayer request and the sheet that we have that's got so many, it's filled front and back with prayer requests, needs that people have. And you think, you look at that, you see there's a lot of worried folk. A lot of people, some know that bad things are coming and I can't do anything about it. Others don't know and they're worried because they don't know. And we've kind of been there, and I understand a little bit of that, but I'm going to tell you something. I also understand that our God is faithful. He's absolutely faithful in all those situations. But because we can pray, because he is consistent, because he's faithful, we have an answer. And God's way is never wrong. He's never made a mistake. He's never second-guessed himself. I heard a man say one time, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? He knows what's going on in our lives. Since we can trust him, since he's proven himself, why in the world would I want to try to handle all this stuff on my own? When the hard things come, why do I want to try to fix it when I know the man that's got the answer for me? Always open for business. He's always ready. Why not check with him? I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. Except maybe I'm short on prayer and long on worry. But that's not what Jesus was. Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is the way, by prayer, that we can eliminate a lot of worry and a lot of heartaches. But you know, that's not something that just automatically comes. Sometimes we have to grow to that point in our life before we actually are willing to turn things over to somebody. But if I've been saved, this is my 25th year. And I realize that God is faithful. He's shown me more than once. And so the problem is not God. If I'm worried to death, and I'll tell you, I was nervous this week about teaching, and because I knew that I was going to have to read. I knew when I got started, this ain't making sense. This is not good. I'm going to do something different. And I start again, and this may not be good either, but anyway, at least I give it two tries. But I believe the Lord showed me something else because he wants me to know that I've not been consistent. Now, I may show up every Sunday. We tithe. We do all those things that most church people do, I hope. But guess what? I was doing those same things when I got saved. I was a lost church member. 25 years ago, I heard a message on the wheat and the tares, and it told me that, hey, I'm a tare because I look just like the wheat. I did everything they did, but guess what? When you open it up, it's different on the inside, far different. And so I need to know that, you know, I've got to grow. I've got to spend my life, or more time of my life praying and seeking God, seeking His will. And let me tell you something, there's no safer place on planet Earth than in the will of God. And without prayer and supplication, we'll never find that. But Jesus had a great attitude. He prayed much. He prayed many times. The Bible talked how He would go out by Himself early in the morning or whatever, and He would pray. The Bible tells us to always pray and not faint. And a lot of times we get faint. We get weak because we're not going to God with our problems, our situations, or our thanksgiving, as the Scripture tells us here. We need to be thankful for what we have. I know that when we came back from Vanderbilt and the Lord gave me the opportunity to speak to the church one night about, and most of it was about how thankful we are. And I told you how when I got saved, God gave me the ability to love people. And it also helped them love me a little better too at times. But when I spoke that night, the one thing that just overwhelmed me, kept coming back, is how thankful we were for everybody in this, in the church, and our families, and everybody, people that had ministered to us, and people that had prayed for us. And I know that unless it's God's will, He's not going to make everything what we wanted it to be. But boy, it's good to know that people are praying. It's good to know that He knows and He cares, and to have other people that care. And it was such a great blessing to know that we were ministered to and helped. And the peace of God that it speaks about in this verse, with it guarding our heart and mind, we can also have an attitude like Jesus. If you've got the peace of God in your heart, that only comes by knowing He's got control of everything that's going on. You don't have to be the worrier. Your part is turn it over to Him. Just go to Him for direction and help in everything that we do. But we need, like Daniel preached also Wednesday night, to have the mind of Christ, which, like I said, was not to be worried, but to be thankful and to be prayerful about every situation. Isaiah 26:3, one of the great verses that the Lord gave me the first time when, and I hope this is not upsetting anybody, but when we started through the cancer thing, I'll never forget the Saturday morning sitting at home, and I was just broke. And I got up and sat down to do my Bible reading, and it was pretty early in the morning. I asked the Lord for help because I didn't have any. And I didn't really know what to say. I had no answers. And here's the thing. Here was my inconsistency, plain. Man, I called all the doctors. I called people that I knew. I did avoid the internet because, unlike what the commercial says, you can't believe everything you read on the internet or whatever. Anyway, it's on a commercial I watch. But anyway, I needed help. I really needed God to speak to me. And I was reading in Isaiah, and in my mind, honestly, I said, what's He got for me here? I said, I just really wasn't. I prayed for it, but then I didn't pray expecting. But God delivered anyway. Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Now, back to the main point of the lesson, consistency. If God is not consistent, He's not God. He's not any help to us. We don't need Him. But He is. He is all those things. He is consistent. And in every situation, every aspect of His life, and He wants to be in our life. He is consistent. But our faith must grow to a level, and then our attitude will increase because we will begin to turn things over to God like we ought to, and not worry about these things ourselves because we don't have any control. We don't have any control. The only thing we can control is the way we approach Christ. Can we decide today to do that? That's something that we must do. Now I want to talk about, I've talked about His attributes, His attitudes, and then I want to talk about His actions. One other thing, I lost my place. I want to share with you. Ephesians 5:1 says, be there for followers of God as dear children. I left that out. That was about his attitude and about what our attitude ought to be. The Bible tells us to be that because we are followers of God, we need to be like his children. And you know, you can take a child out and you take them, I know you get them on the bus routes, okay? And you get them on the bus and you see sometimes they have maybe a different attitude, a different outlook on things. Sometimes they're angry. Sometimes they're just wild. And that happens everywhere. But anyway, you know, I use the bus route as an example because I know many of you have seen that on the bus routes. And these kids may not be getting everything they need at home. Maybe a lot of Christian kids aren't. I don't know. But, you know, they imitate what they see. They imitate their surroundings, their environment, the things they're exposed to. They imitate that. Now, what about me? The Lord told me if I was going to be his follower, I need to do that just like a child would. In this scripture is what he tells me. So if I'm going to act like one of God's children, and I'm going to know how to act, therefore I'm going to have to get close to him. I'm going to have to be interested enough to find out what he's doing, what he wants me to do, where he's going to take me, and what his all the things that he wants me to know, and they're right here in the instruction manual, God's Word. And I know Brother Gary mentioned that you hear that every week, and I guess this is just another week, but that's where our instruction should come from. God can use that in our life to build our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He can build us as a Christian into what he wants us to be. We will get his will from this book. We will know how to find his will and how to execute his will. And the Bible tells us that he will provide everything we need to do his will, to get from here to glory. God's got all that for us. And so many times, I just get lazy, inconsistent, and something else is more fun. Something else seems more important. And I'll put it off. I don't know if you guys have ever done this or not, but usually I read my Bible real early in the morning. There's been a few times real early in the morning that something's come up on one of the buses or something. I try to get most of it done before the buses go out. But sometimes, you know, around 5 o'clock, I'll get to read some. And after I've read for a little while or something comes up, maybe I get a call real early. And I have to go, and I put off my Bible reading. Well, guess what happens? It doesn't slow down. I guess the devil makes sure you're busy all day long, and you give in to it, and there's no time to stop and read God's Word. And guess what? The next day, I realize I went through that whole day, I didn't read my Bible, and I'm behind. And now I need more time than ever. And that's something we need to be consistent in all these areas of our life if we plan to be what God wants us to be. Now I want to talk to you about we're about out of time. I also want to talk to you about the actions of Jesus. I've just got 3 more pages. So, does somebody want to call Brother Jody and tell him that we'll be there later? No, I'm kidding. Tell him we're going to McDonald's and finish this lesson. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, the actions of Jesus. It said we talked about his attributes and we talked about his attitudes and things and all these things that Jesus is, they should convince us to take action and to do what we need to do for the Lord because of what he's done for us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8 tells us that let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let me say this. If Jesus had not been consistent, we'd all be lost. If we were still living, we'd all be bound for hell today. But we're not, because Jesus was consistent in what he said, what he told his disciples, and what his Father expected from him, he did. He did. He never faltered. He didn't question it. He never doubted. He completed the plan that we might have eternal life. And today, I'd like for you to just think about what eternal life means to you. What a glorious thought. And I'm telling you, sometimes the troubles of this world become so heavy without God's help, I really don't know what I do. Even as a Christian, and I read my Bible and all these things, and I pray, and you know what? Sometimes they become so heavy still, I don't really know if God didn't just shake me or force me into the right move that I do the right thing. It's hard. It's hard. But let's guess what? The Lord said we're overcomers because of Him. And He has helped us, and He will help us. John chapter 15, verse 13 and 14 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. I believe the Bible encourages us to be consistent. Now, I've got two minutes. Okay. She's telling me how much I have. Okay. I want to share a story with you that I shared in the cancer ministry the other night, part of it. And you may know this, you may not. But anyway, it's about one of our members that just passed on, Brother Joe Taylor. He was consistent. And to be consistent, sometimes that means, and to be faithful, sometimes that means you got to give up some things that you really like to do or some things that are really good for you, beneficial. But Brother Joe, and he didn't tell me this. I found this out from somebody else. They asked me, they saw his obituary, and they came and told me this story. He worked at Eastman for years in filter products, and I don't know if you know much about that, but they have this filter tow, they call it, and it comes through the machines, and they bale it up into bales and wrap it up with straps and cardboard and ship it off to all over the world. And while Joe was, that's what his job was. And many times over the years, they promoted Joe to a higher, better job, more money, eventually probably more money for retirement, more money for things at home, more money for the rugs he gave away. Anyway, some of y'all know that, some of you don't, but anyway. He did tell me that. But anyway, Joe was doing this, and many times when he'd get these promotions, the guy that was telling me this was one of his bosses. And he said he would keep his job, the promotion, for 2 or 3 days, and he'd say, I can't do what God wanted me to do. I can't be consistent in His ministry, and that he felt like God had called him to do, so he gave him the job back, the promotion back, went back to the balers. I don't know if you've ever been in there. I have been in those rooms, and I worked in some of that stuff years ago. And you go through there, and it's really hot. It's steamy. It's not an easy job. It's hard work. That may be different now. I don't know, but they fired me years ago. But anyway, about 30 years ago. But anyway, I don't want you to act like that was like last week or something, you know. But anyway, Joe's in here, and he's back on these balers, and you know what he's doing? What was Joe known? One of the things he was known for is giving out tracts, gospel tracts. And when he baled those bales of yarn, and he strapped them up, in every bale going all over the world was a gospel tract. He gave up probably some good money, probably some really a much easier physical job to do. I don't know. Maybe because of what he breathed in there caused his lung cancer. I don't know. But I tell you what I do know. He was consistent in what he believed God had called him to do. And whatever that is for whoever's here today, be consistent. God can use that. And you know what? I don't ever remember seeing Joe whenever he wasn't smiling and had a good attitude and all these things. And, you know, and I strive to be like that and even beyond. I need to be like Jesus. And I guess that's the end of that. But anyway, I just got 3 more pages. I don't know, and I'll preach them at home. Amen. That's where it was needed. No, I'm just kidding. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time we've had together. God, I pray that you'll help me as a Christian to be a consistent witness, to have my actions to be consistent, to back up what I say I believe. God, help me to be faithful as time goes on. And Lord, whatever you have for us to do, God, help us to be willing to be the servant you'd want us to be. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.